The sermon and gospel lesson for this morning is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. You can follow along on the insert in your bulletin. I read in Jesus' name. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. At some point in life, everyone is plagued with thoughts of futility. Everyone wonders if all their work and all their effort and all their labor is ultimately serving no useful purpose. You go through the same motions day after day, month after month, year after year, but who cares? You try to be a good husband, a good mother, a good son, a good student, but does anyone notice? Does anyone care? What difference does it make? The ancient Chinese philosopher Confucius said, "The hardest thing of all is to find a black cat in a dark room, especially if there is no cat." Maybe sometimes your life feels that futile. You wash the dishes, you do the laundry, you sweep up the kitchen only to turn around moments later and the mess is back. You work hard to finish that deadline. You do your homework, you study for that history or spelling or science test, but what difference does it make? Who cares? Why bother? Your life is filled with busyness, with work and events and meetings and plannings and travelings. But when it all is said and done, what difference does it make? What's the point? Why bother? We are all tempted to go through the motions without thinking about the meaning behind the motions, and all the while, futility looms and grows, and it's our biggest fear. The fear that we don't make one lick of difference. When it all is said and done, when we work our knuckles to the bone, what difference have we made? Why did we even bother? Well, the answer is in today's text. And it's a difficult text, but it's not that this text is so hard to understand. Instead, that's the problem. Now, if all we had was this text, if these were the only words that we had from Jesus, then a religion of works and salvation by human effort would be the logical conclusion. Sheep do good works, do acts of kindness, and they receive heavenly praise and eternal rewards. Goats don't and get hell. It's a tough text. But Scripture is clear. We do not earn our way into God's good graces. We do not work our way into eternal life. And even this text agrees. Notice what Jesus first says to the sheep, to the righteous. He says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." The sheep are sheep because God has made them sheep. They are chosen. They are predestined. They are elect. They are not sheep because they've made a choice to be sheep. They are not sheep because they asked Jesus to come into their heart. They are not sheep because they did acts of kindness. They are not sheep because they worked hard to become sheep. They are sheep for one reason and one reason only. God has done it. God has made them his sheep. God makes them righteous. And then these sheep live like God's sheep. They go out into God's creation, out into their ordinary lives, and they take care of those around them. They feed the hungry. They give drink to the thirsty. They visit the sick and imprisoned. They welcome the stranger. They do sheep things. God's sheep act like his sheep. And the goats? Well, the goats chose what God never planned. The goats choose to ignore the call of God. They choose to ignore the cry of their fellow creatures who need their help. They reject grace and they choose death. And in return, God gives them what they choose. The goats share the unintended and unsought fate of Satan and his horde. But that is not you. You are sheep. At the font, God made his claim on you. He gave you his name. The Lord is your shepherd, and you are his sheep, and you always will be. You belong to him, and so you, his sheep, act like his sheep. You go out into this world, you go out into creation, and you meet the needs of your fellow creatures who need your help that God has put you there to give to them. And when sheep do what God has given them to do, futility is gone. It's wiped away completely. That's the point of the parable. This text is not an exhortation to be a sheep and not a goat. Sheep have no choice in the matter anyway. Remember, God does the choosing. The point is that what sheep do as sheep is never wasted and is never lost. There's no futility. That means that whatever you do in your daily work, that work is transformed. Whatever you do in your vocation as husband, father, mother, daughter, child, student, employer, employee, whatever you do in your vocation is never wasted and is never lost. Everything you do in service to the one who God has put in your life who needs it, everything you do is holy work. It's not what makes a big splash. It's not what makes others applaud. It's not what earns financial perks or accolades or A's, none of that matters. It's not what makes you feel good. None of these things determine the value of the work that you do. The only thing that determines the value of what you are doing is that you are doing it in service to others. And so whatever it is that you do, you are doing it as God's sheep. And whatever you do as God's sheep is holy work. And so you get up and you go to work and you put in your 8 or your 10 or your 12 hours because it is holy work. You prepare another report. You struggle to meet another deadline. You stock the shelf because it is holy work. You drive another 1,000 miles. You clean up the kitchen. You fold the laundry. You do the kids' homework with them because it is holy work. You clear your dishes from the table. You straighten up the entryway. You put all the boots and gloves and hats together because it is holy work. You change the day's 8th dirty diaper. And you prepare the day's 5th bottle. And you wipe off the spit up on your shirt at awe and wonder because of the sheer holiness of the work that you are doing. You see, whatever it is you do is done in service to the one that God has put in your life who needs it. It doesn't matter if that need seems insignificant or inconsequential. God's put that person with that need in your life, and He's put you there to meet it. And so everything you do, whatever it is you do, you can do with a sense of awe and wonder and gratitude at the sheer holiness of the work that you are doing. You don't need work that is more meaningful. You don't need a vocation that packs more prestige. You don't need to do things that will impress those who watch and grade and evaluate. You just need to do what you have been given to do in service to the one who needs it. And when you do that, you are doing incredible, holy work, just the way that God intended it to be done. You see, your work is worthwhile always. That's the way it is with God's sheep. And you are a sheep, elect, chosen by God, doused in forgiveness at the font, and righteous. Righteous before God, you are a sheep. And you see the need of those around you, and you step up and you meet that need. Parents, teachers, children, strangers, neighbors, whoever, you see their needs and you meet that need, and you are righteous. Sheep are righteous twice. You are righteous before God in your election, and righteous before creation in your vocation. You are a sheep, my friend. You live without fear, and you live without futility, and you know that your labor is never lost. It is never in vain. No deed is insignificant. No act is forgotten. God saves you and your work. You may feel like your work is insignificant. You may feel like your work is meaningless. You may feel like what you do goes unnoticed, but it is not. You are a sheep. And that changes everything. Everything about you and everything about what you do forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and into eternity. Amen.